And so what God is saying is these waiting seasons are much more important than you'll ever realize. In fact, if you think about it, think about those whom God has chosen to be some of His greatest people. They all had to go through waiting times before they bore fruit.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne has a message entitled, A Season of Waiting. Now, most of us are not too thrilled about the idea of waiting, sitting endlessly in the waiting room at the doctor's office or standing at the bus stop waiting for what seems like an eternity. What a waste of time, right? Well, maybe not necessarily. You see, today Pastor Wayne will show us that God allows those times of waiting in order to give us an opportunity to grow. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, A Season of Waiting.
I don't know about you, but I'm not good at waiting. How many of you would agree? We're not very good. We're kind of bad waiters, and it's not the easiest thing to do. And we're going to talk about that. A season of waiting. Whether it's in the doctor's office or you're in the supermarket line and you know, inevitably a lady in front of you is pulling out a million coupons out of her purse looking for coupons. And at the gas station, the pumps are full. Yeah, I just have a hard time waiting. But you know what I'm finding? That's what life is made up of, waiting. Someone did a study on how many minutes or days, accumulating all the minutes, we spend on certain things. If you average out your life 70 years-ish or so, listen to this. 2 years of that, you accumulate all the minutes. 2 years, you're talking on the phone. 2 years on the phone. You know how cauliflower your ear's gonna get? 2 years. If you're my daughter, Abby, she does it all at one time. 2 years on the phone. And you're gonna be waiting 1.5 years in lines. 6 months, you're going to be waiting at stoplights. 8 months, you'll be waiting for your computer to boot up. 8 years, you're going to spend eating. Now, that sounds good. I like that. 8 years of eating. See, it sounds so local because, you know, in Hawaii, you don't eat until you get full. You eat till you're tired. And then check this out. 20 years you're going to spend sleeping. 20 years. And 7 years shopping at Ross. That's for my wife's benefit. We just wait. I mean, if you add all of that up, it's like 32 years of your life you're waiting. Just still. 32 years of your life. It's almost half. Wouldn't it be nice if we can take those years and redeem them for good? Instead of they just being kind of throwaways, what if we could redeem them? Do you know how cool life would be? But we are not very good waiters. We can't wait. Let me give you a pop quiz and give you two scenarios and see how you fare on this. Now, this is a scenario, and then think through. Now, what of these multiple choice would I kind of fit into? What category would define me the best? Here's the first. You're coming out of a parking structure. You get to the ticket booth, and the person in front of you is having an extended conversation with the person in the ticket booth. How do you respond after about 4 minutes of waiting? A, you are happy for them that they're speaking to one another. You observe they're doing parking as a team. Or you think maybe they're sharing together what they got in this morning's devotion from the Bible. Or B, you think of things to say to the driver in front of you like, God bless you, I go to New Hope, would you like to come? Or C, you think of other things to say to the driver in front of you that have nothing to do with church. Which one? Or this scenario, you're in the waiting room at the doctor's office. 1 hour has passed. You're waiting and waiting and waiting. Hour and 15 minutes. Your response? A, you are grateful because you've been able to catch up on all your back reading of Reader's Digests from 1992 onwards. B, you force yourself to hyperventilate in order to get quicker attention from the nurse. Or C, you alert the other patients that you have a terribly contagious disease and you start coughing at them. You know, we're not good at waiting. Now, those are kind of funny, fictitious scenarios of waiting, but there are far more serious seasons of waiting that we need to work on and realize. For example, the waiting of a single person to see whether or not marriage is in her future, and if that's God's will, a season of waiting. Or maybe of a childless couple who's waiting to see if starting a family is a part of their future. Or maybe it's a waiting of a person who's longing to have a meaningful job that adds significance to their life, and they're waiting, saying, God, I know flipping burgers is not what I want to do. It's not like my passion and gift, you know. And how long? How long? Lewis Smedes is a writer, and he writes it like this. Waiting, he says, is our destiny, isn't it? Because we're creatures who cannot by ourselves bring about what we hope for. So we're like people who are waiting in the darkness for a flame we cannot light. We're waiting in fear for a happy ending that we cannot write. We wait for a not yet that feels like not ever. Well, in the midst of these waiting seasons, God's going to give us some words of hope. And it's found in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. It's at the top of your notes. And if you will pull your notes out and in your most vibrant voice, let's read these words of hope given to those who find themselves in a season of waiting. Let's read it. Go. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Would you underline, will gain new strength? Did you know that there's a purpose for those 32 years of waiting? God has a purpose, and that's those who wait for the Lord will what? Gain. Yeah, God wants us during these waiting seasons, here's his purpose, to gain new strength. Oh, you say, but Wayne, wouldn't it be nice like if a tree didn't have to wait to bear fruit? If we could just take the moment it's planted and to the point that it bears fruit, if you could just take out all of the in-between waiting time, wouldn't it be nice? Plant fruit, just like our lives. Just don't have to wait. Yeah, but watch this, and you got to catch this, everybody. From the moment a tree is planted to the time that it bears fruit, the in-between, what is the tree doing? It is what? Ah, do you know what the waiting seasons are for? Would you write in your first bullet there, waiting times are growing seasons? See, a lot of times we want to get rid of the in-between. We wonder now why we're 35, 45, 55, and we haven't grown much. Oh, we've grown older, we just have not grown up. We grow old, but we don't grow up. Why? Because somewhere in between, we didn't steward the waiting times very well. We didn't find God's purpose in them, our assignment in them, because God factors that in for a huge reason. Because between the moment it's planted and the time it bears fruit, it's called growing. But we don't want that. We just want fruit. That's why we find people in positions, but no maturity, no wisdom, and no insight. And I can tell you that during the waiting seasons of their lives, they squandered it. They were embittered by it. They didn't want it. They ignored it. They took a shortcut. Waiting seasons are one of the most important seasons of your life. It's not a throwaway time. Because from the time it's planted to the time it's fruiting, it's called growing. And that's why Barbara Walters, some time ago, and looking straight at a camera, the American flag unfurled behind her. She said, America is in a famine. We're in trouble. The clock is ticking and no one notices. We're on the edge. No, it's not a famine of water or food, she said. No, it's not trouble with our education or schools. No, it's not our economy. This is what she said. We have an absence of character depth in our country. And I thought, boy, she's right on the money. Because we've grown old, but we haven't grown up. And so people are in places of parenting, leadership, and we have not a clue what to do. Why? Because we live in an instant society. The more we can get rid of the in-between, the more people will buy into it. Isn't that right? So now we've produced a generation without depth or character. We wonder why, and it's about ready to implode. And so what God is saying is, these waiting seasons are much more important than you'll ever realize. In fact, if you think about it, think about those whom God has chosen to be some of His greatest people. They all had to go through waiting times before they bore fruit. Let's read the scriptures, Galatians 5:22. Go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and... Circle the word patience. Hebrews 6:12. Let's read the next one. Go. Be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. You see, we'd love to just shortcut it. James Garfield, who was a president of the United States, before he was president of the United States, he was president of a little college called Hiram College. And a hurry-up father came to him one day with his son, and he said, is there a way that I can get my son through this college quicker than 4 years? Because 4 years is a long time, and I got to get him into the marketplace so we can make some money. And the president said, well, yeah, but it all depends what you want to make of your son. You see, if you want to oak tree to get strong, it'll take 7 years. But squash, 3 months will do. You see, it kind of depends what you want to make of your life. And the Lord is saying the waiting seasons are more important than you'll ever realize. But it's hard. You know what it does, though, between? It builds your faith. Would you write in the second bullet, waiting times are faith-building seasons? See, the hardest times to wait is when God seems silent. But one of the things that we have to switch in our perspective and our paradigm is this. Now you have to listen real closely. A lot of times, because we only have a short life, we're trying to fit God into my lifetime, so I get impatient. But you know what God is trying to do? He's trying to fit us into His lifetime. Big difference. If you take a look at the people that God used in the past, He said to Abraham, Abraham, 75 years old, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to have a lot of kids. You know how long Abraham had to wait? 24 years before he had his first kid after that. The Lord said to Moses, Moses, we're going to deliver the people out of Egypt, out of slavery, and take them into the promised land. You're going to lead them. How long is that going to take? Moses waited 40 years for that promise. Children of Israel, they were told they were going to become a nation. Okay, Lord, we'll wait. How long did they wait? 400 years. People of Israel were told that they were going to have a Messiah come. So they waited decade after decade, then generation after generation, then a century went by. Century. You know, the funny thing is when the Messiah finally came, most of them didn't even recognize him anyway. The only ones that recognized the Messiah when he came were the ones who were waiting for him. You see, the Lord uses waiting to build our faith. And God says, if you'll wait on the Lord, I will show you how you're going to fit into my scheme rather than you trying to get me to fit into yours. It's a lot bigger, the kingdom of God. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Peter, 1,000 years to the Lord is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. Isn't that interesting? So God's timing is so different from ours. I heard a story of a kind of a stingy guy in church. He was said, really? 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord, and a day is like 1,000 years? So he started praying, oh God, is that true? Is that true? Like, Lord, is it true like a million? I mean, 1,000 years is like 1 minute to you? And the Lord answered him and said, yeah, 1,000 years is like a minute to me. And a minute's like 1,000 years? Yeah. And he said, well, is it true then? If that's true, then $1,000,000 must be like a penny to you. And the Lord said, yep. He said, oh God, He said, could you give me one of those pennies? And the Lord answered him and said, sure, wait just a minute. See, often we want God's resources, but we don't want God's timing. We want God's hand, but we don't want his calendar. We want God's penny, but not his minutes. The Bible says, my times are in your hands, O Lord. It's a season of waiting. And it requires such a trusting heart. Because you see, it's during the times when God seems most silent that our faith has to build. Because there's times where our faith is going to build, not after the Lord gives a wonderful miracle. Because then, woohoo, our faith is kind of celebrative. Pretty easy to follow God and believe him then. But what about before the fruit comes? From the planting to the fruit. What about then? You see, the Bible talks about a man that Jesus laid hands on his eyes, who's a blind man. And then he said, now go wash in the pool of Siloam and you will see. Now, the pool of Siloam wasn't right next to him. It was 3-4 blocks away. Now watch this. After God had laid hands on his eyes, he had to go to the pool of Siloam. He had to find his way there. He had to believe while he was still blind for 4 blocks. That's the kind of faith that the Lord says will be mountain-moving faith. You see, it was during those 4 blocks he could have said, I can't see, forget him. No, he had to believe for 4 blocks while yet blind. That waiting season is faith-building season. That's what brings about great miracles. It was Jesus who said to his disciples, you're going to have to wait for me because I'm going to go to the cross and you won't see me for a while. I'm going to shed my blood. Oh, the disciples said, no way. No, that won't happen. No. And you're going to have to be a partaker of this kind of stuff. Oh, no. In fact, they said this. Let's read John 6. Go. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? And as a result, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. They said, we're not going to be a part of this waiting season. Now listen very carefully. It was Friday night. Jesus was betrayed. It wasn't until Sunday morning that the resurrection took place. After the resurrection, they all wanted to follow God. But let me tell you the toughest time that really builds faith. It's not following God after Sunday. It's following the Lord Friday night to Sunday at dawn. There'll be many of you that'll be caught in that moment. Friday night to Sunday at dawn. That's the waiting time wherein God will build the greatest kind of faith you'll ever build. Oh, you see, after Sunday morning, it's wonderful to follow God. But Friday night to Sunday at dawn, it's a waiting season. Some of you are at a vulnerable moment and you say, yeah, that's where I'm at. How do I redeem that? How do I build my faith? You see, sometimes waiting on God is going to require a disciplined hope, just a confident clinging to God, regardless of the outcome. It's saying to the Lord, Lord, I trust you and I obey you, even when things are not turning out the way that I'd like them to at this moment and may never turn out the way I want them to turn out. But you know what, God? I'm going to bet everything I have on you because there's no plan B. That's the greatest faith there is. Henry Nouwen, who used to be a Catholic priest, died a few years ago, but he wrote a book called Sabbatical Journeys. And in this book, he talks about a trapeze pair of brothers called the Flying Rudellas. And they talk about the relationship between the flyer and the catcher. Now, what that is you've got these two people flying way above the crowds. They use no safety nets. And one is called a flyer, which means he's the one that has to, at a moment, let go and do his acrobatics and then move into a position to be caught. And then the catcher has to be there at the precise time to catch him. And they're talking about the relationship that they have to have. And I thought, yeah, you better have a good relationship. Like, you got to be friends. Wouldn't it be bad if you didn't like each other? Whoops. Oh, sorry. You shouldn't have said that to me yesterday then. So they talked about having a really solid relationship between the flyer and the catcher. Now, they said, you know, swinging high above the trapeze, the moment comes when that flyer has to let go. He arcs into the air, and when he's done with this short routine, listen to this. They said this, the flyer, his job is to remain as still as possible, suspended in air, waiting for the catcher, the strong hands of the catcher, to pluck him out of the air. And then he said this, but the flyer must never try to catch the catcher. The flyer must wait in absolute trust, and the catcher will catch him, but he must wait. Kind of a scary thought, huh? But it's true. You see, if that person were flailing around trying to catch the catcher, he would not be caught. He has to stay in absolute trust, and his job is to stay still. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 7, it says this, be still and know that I, what? Am God. Yeah. Be still and know that I am God. You see, because sometimes we're going to be in a very vulnerable moment, as some of you might be right now. And you have had to let go of what God is asking you to let go of. And our tendency is to want to start flailing around, grabbing hold out of desperation. Maybe you're single and the stigma of being single is pressing on you. And maybe there's a relationship at your fingertips that promises to take that loneliness away. But you know that that relationship isn't honoring to God and that person is not right for you. And maybe there's a pressure, they're pressing you to be even sexually involved. Then you're saying, Lord, I've waited long enough. Can I ask you this? Please wait on the Lord. Please wait on the Lord. And pray and say, Lord, I will not get involved with anything that will twist my soul or damage my heart. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you're a single parent. And you look at your young elementary kids that have 10 years more of school in front of them, and you're a single parent now, and you're looking at it like, man, this is like 10 years of hard labor. Maybe you're in a job that's not your heart, and you're in a season of waiting. How in the world do you redeem those times? What do we do during this time? What is God expecting us to do? Let me give you three things that will help you to redeem this time to make sure that we prepare ourselves for the fruitful season up ahead. Here's three things that I do and that's helped me during these waiting seasons to prepare my heart for what God has in this next season. Would you write down waiting seasons or seasons of, would you write number one, repenting and quick forgiveness. Repenting and quick forgiveness. You see, because sometimes the reason I'm in the desert or the reason I'm in an extended waiting season might be because I've somehow marginalized myself. Maybe I've isolated myself, burned a few bridges, made a few errors and decisions. And I've held things against or burned some bridges with. And you fill in the blank. And the Lord is saying, Wayne, during this season, when you thought you were some high mucky muck, now you realize that you ain't and you're isolated in the desert. Now, what do you need to do? And the first, he says, repentance and quick forgiveness. You see, it was the psalmist David who was in the desert and he was in a waiting season. This is what he did. He didn't start blaming. He lifted up his hands and said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there's any wicked way in me. Is there anything in me, Lord, that's causing the season to be extended in any way?
You've been listening to a message entitled A Season of Waiting by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We will bring you the conclusion tomorrow. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.